good bill for Iowa, and I have asked my caucus to please vote for this, and I hope everyone does.
Seeing no further discussion, the chair recognizes the gentleman from Story, Representative Deal, for closing remarks on Senate File 505.
I just wanted to thank the members of the subcommittee, Representatives Donahue and Thompson, and just move the bill.
The gentleman from Story moves the bill be read for the last time and placed on its passage. Are there objections? Chair hears none. The clerk will read.
Senate File 505, a bill for an act modifying provisions related to the licensure of professional landscape architects be enacted by the General Assembly of the State of Iowa.
Question now is, shall the bill pass? Those in favor of its passage will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will receive your vote. Kaufman votes aye. Nielsen votes aye. Kressig votes aye. Cassina votes aye. Hanusa votes aye. Lensing votes aye. Confirst votes aye. Stade votes aye. Holt votes aye. Gerhold votes aye. Jones votes aye. Have you all voted? Clerk will close the machine and record your vote. House will give attention to the results of the vote. Those voting aye, 95. Those voting nay, 0. Absent or not voting, 5. The bill having received a constitutional majority is declared to have passed the House. Are there objections to the title? Chair hears none. The title is agreed to. Chair recognizes the gentleman from Ringgold, Representative Dolacek, for opening remarks on House File 596.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the House. House File 596 is a whole grade sharing and reorganization incentive bill. Basically, this bill extends the current language we have set to expire on July 1 for another 5 years to incentivize school districts to go into conversations about whole grade sharing. It has a 0.1 weighting that goes along with it to help those discussions take place. That would conclude my opening remarks, Mr. Speaker.
Is there discussion? Chair recognizes the lady from Johnson, Representative Masher.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I rise in support of this particular bill. I want to thank Representative Dolacek for putting it before us. The whole grade sharing has been allowed among districts for quite some time, and it allows them to share teachers. Oftentimes we have shortage areas in the rural areas, especially for science, math, and those particular kinds of jobs. And as a result, the whole grade sharing allows districts to share those teachers back and forth. We also have operational sharing, and I've talked to Representative Dolacek about in the future maybe getting both of those on the same cycle. The operational sharing is our administrators and our business managers for our school district. We allow that as well, and many of them are taking advantage of that, but it seems to me they should be on the same cycle. The whole grade sharing will be extended till 2024, and again, I think this is a good move in the right direction. I know it will help a lot of small rural districts. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Seeing no further discussion, the chair recognizes the gentleman from Ringgold, Representative Dolacek, for closing remarks on House File 596.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and ladies and gentlemen of the House, this is a good bill that allows school districts to start the conversations of working together. Whether they want to continue to whole grade share, whether they want to start a reorganization process or a merger, this facilitates those discussions, gives them ample time to do that. I would encourage my colleagues to vote in favor of this bill and move its passage. Thank you.
The gentleman from Ringgold moves the bill be read for the last time and placed on its passage. Are there objections? Chair hears none. The clerk will read.
House File 596, a bill for an act relating to incentives for whole grade sharing
come to us as a legalizing act, basically which deals with the Bennett Community School District around the instructional support levy. The instructional support levy can be done through board resolution. The board passes a resolution and required by law to have to wait at least a minimum of 28 days to allow people to orchestrate a petition against this occurring. The board, school board certified to the Board of Management prior to the 28 days expiring. To my knowledge, there's been no resistance whatsoever by any member of the community against this action. If there had been, this would not be before us, but there's been no resistance. This just allows them to go ahead and go forward with their action, although they did not wait the 28 days. I'd be happy to answer any discussions or any questions.
Is there discussion? Chair recognizes the lady from Dubuque, Representative James.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, this is a rare process and a minor infraction, and there was no resistance, and so would urge my colleagues and the body to support this bill.
Seeing no further discussion, the gentleman from Ringgold moves the bill be read for the last time and placed on its passage. Are there objections? Chair hears none. The clerk will read.
House File 609, a bill for an act legalizing the participation of the instructional support program at the Benton Community School District and providing an effective date, being enacted by the General Assembly of the State of Iowa.
Question now is, shall the bill pass? Those in favor of its passage will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will receive your vote. Nielsen votes aye. Kressig votes aye.
gentlemen of the House. Representative Sexton's done a great job of explaining this bill and all of the changes that were made and not made. Basically, the uniformity of appeal times is a really good thing for the Department of Natural Resources. And the section that allows clean water to be disposed without a permit, as long as it isn't going to touch the waterways of our state, is a good section. And the Second Amendment that puts back in that stormwater disposal or stormwater changes do have to be published in the newspaper is also a good section. So I will support this bill as amended and encourage my colleagues to do the same.
Seeing no further discussion, the chair recognizes the gentleman from Calhoun, Representative Sexton, for closing remarks on Senate File 409 as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to thank my subcommittee of Representative Anderson, Representative Moore, and I move the bill be read for third and final time. Thank you.
The gentleman from Calhoun moves the bill be read for the last time and placed on its passage. Are there objections? Chair hears none. The clerk will read.
Senate File 409, a bill for an act relating to administrative procedures within the Department of Natural Resources being enacted by the General Assembly of the State of Iowa.
Question now is, shall the bill pass? Those in favor of its passage will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will receive your vote. Meyer Polk votes aye. Lensing votes aye. Smith of Blackhawk votes aye. Hine votes aye. Hall votes aye. Have you all voted? Clerk will close the machine and record your vote. House, give attention to the results of the vote. Those voting aye, 97. Those voting nay, 0. Absent or not voting, 3. The bill having received a constitutional majority is declared to have passed the House. Are there objections to the title? Chair hears none. The title is agreed to. Chair recognizes the gentleman from Jones, Representative McKean, for opening remarks on House File 730.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, friends and neighbors in the House, I ask unanimous consent to substitute Senate File 283, which is identical to House File 730.
Are there objections? Hearing none, so ordered. Chair recognizes the gentleman from Jones, Representative McKean, for opening remarks on Senate File 283.
Again, thank you, Mr. Speaker, and friends and neighbors in the House. Current code prevents members of school boards or officers or employees of counties and cities from having an interest, direct or indirect, in a contract for goods or services issued by the board. There is an exception that allows compensation or benefit if it does not exceed $2,500 or $1,500, depending on whether you're speaking about a county or a city. The bill after this amendment would increase the threshold to
Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the House. House File 736 lays out the rules and procedures for the use of remote notaries, and there is an amendment.
There is an amendment. The clerk will call up the amendment.
H1106 by Jacobson of Pottawatomie.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Pottawatomie, Representative Jacobson, for opening remarks on Amendment H1106.
Thank you again, Mr. Speaker. This amendment conforms with the language of Senate File 475, and I move the amendment.
Is there discussion? Chair recognizes the lady from Lynn, Representative Donahue.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I would just like to ask my caucus to vote for the amendment.
Seeing no further, gentleman from Pottawatomie moves adoption of Amendment H1106. All those in favor, say aye. All those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The amendment is adopted. We're back on House File 736 as amended. Chair recognizes the gentleman from Pottawatomie, Representative Jacobson, for a substitution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I ask unanimous consent to substitute Senate File 475 for House File 736.
Are there objections? Hearing none, so ordered. We are now on Senate File 475. Is there discussion? Chair recognizes the lady from Lynn, Representative Donahue.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill is a good bill for Iowa. It will help many people out in the rural areas, as well as those who are disabled and unable to make trips in and into town on a regular basis to meet where they can get some papers notarized. So I have asked my caucus to please support this bill because it will help many, many people and also save time for Iowans. Thank you.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Jones, Representative McKean.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, friends and neighbors in the House, I originally was somewhat dubious about this bill. I tend to be a little bit reluctant to accept new technology and different ways of doing things, and I think it's interesting to know that sometimes a little bit of personal lobbying can make a considerable amount of difference. And I just happened to meet with a lady who came here to the legislature and who spoke from her own personal experience about how this particular legislation could be extremely helpful to her. That lady happened to be Representative Nielsen's mother, and she did a very effective job because she actually changed my mind on this piece of legislation. So I would also urge you to support the bill.
Chair recognizes the lady from Johnson, Representative Nielsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon again, ladies and gentlemen of the House. Thank you, Representative McKean, for saying that. Although I have told my mom on a number of occasions that there is no changing anyone's mind here, so you've now made me wrong. That's okay, I'll take it. I've actually known about this bill for quite a while. I've been hearing about it at family dinners and getting phone calls about it many, many times. So I'm extremely happy that it is finally passing. this is something that my mom actually has a vested interest in. This legislation came to us because there was a need in the community and a hole in the code. And I think that that's the best kind of legislation that we can pass here. I do thank Representative McKean, Representative Jones, Representative Hinson, Representative Height for taking the time to speak with my mom. I'm glad she at least changed one mind, maybe two, I don't know, I won't go that far. But I really, really especially want to thank Representative Jacobson for all of his collaboration. I've never been so involved on a bill before, and it was really great experience, and it was even better working with you. Thank you very much, sir.
Seeing no further discussion, the chair recognizes the gentleman from Pottawatomie, Representative Jacobson, for closing remarks on Senate File 475.
I appreciate the very gracious remarks of my ethics chairman, Representative McKean, and indeed it has been a great pleasure in this process to work with Representative Donahue. Did terrific work here as a freshman on this bill, very, very helpful, and Representative Hinson, for her ongoing support of this bill, and staffer Logan Murray, who is indispensable through this process, working with the Senate. Senator Kinnoyer also was most helpful. Representative Amy Nielsen did stellar work on this bill. terrific bill. It is a remote notary bill. Anybody who's filled out a FAFSA return for their children or done their tax return on TurboTax or even taken an hour of continuing legal education with electronic verifications, this is what this does. It's actually really a fail-safe technological way to have a remote notarization. This is a rare example of where even the bankers and the credit unions are together in their support of this bill. And speaking as someone who appreciates the work of my colleagues, Representative Seek, Hanusa, and McConkie, with all the flooding that's going on, I can tell you with certitude that this will facilitate the ability of the hundreds of displaced families to more expeditiously acquire lots, acquire real estate, and rebuild on new properties. So thanks for looking out for the folks in Southwest Iowa. Without any further ado, Mr. Chairman, I move the bill.
The gentleman from Pottawatomie moves the bill be read for the last time and placed on its passage. Are there objections? Chair hears none. The clerk will read.
Senate File 475, a bill for an act providing for notarial acts, including by providing for the use of electronic media, providing penalties, and including effective date provisions, being enacted by the General Assembly of the State of Iowa.
Question now is, shall the bill pass? Those in favor of its passage will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will receive your vote. Wolf votes aye. Kaufman votes aye. Lensing votes aye. Hall votes aye. Have you all voted? Clerk will close the machine and record your vote. House will give attention to the results of the vote. Those voting aye, 95. Those voting nay, 2. Absent or not voting, 3. The bill having received a constitutional majority is declared to have passed the House. Are there objections to the title? Chair hears none. The title is agreed to. Chair recognizes the gentleman from Hancock, Representative Baxter, for opening remarks on Senate File 170.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the Iowa House. Senate File 170 is a very simple bill that deals with vacancies on the County Agriculture Extension Councils. It simply changes the election from the wording of the next pending election to the next general election. And then secondly, it addresses the date at which they have to file their full and detailed reports under oath for all receipts and expenditures from August 1st to September 1st of each year. Mr. Speaker, there is an amendment.
There is an amendment. The clerk will call up the amendment.
H1221 by Eisenhart of Dubuque.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Dubuque, Representative Eisenhart, for opening remarks on amendment H1221.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, ladies and gentlemen of the House. We've seen a version of this bill before, and we've seen a version of this amendment before a couple years ago, and we attempted to deal with this problem related to the county extension councils. It may come to some of you as a surprise that the elected members of county extension councils, there are, I believe, 7 in Dubuque County, are the only publicly elected officials with taxing authority that we bar by law from talking to us and lobbying us as legislators. So they have responsibilities dealing with extension issues related to agriculture, community development, economic development. They work with other stakeholders in the community. They work with us to accomplish these goals. We, by law, tell them they can't speak to us and make recommendations to us regarding things that benefit our mutual futures. This amendment would simply strip that language from the code and allow extension council members to be treated as any other local elected official in that regard.
Is there discussion? Chair recognizes the gentleman from Fayette, Representative Barringer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the House. I support this amendment. As a former county and regional extension director myself, I support the bill as well and was on the bill, so I'll talk about both of them together, save some time.
and whether or not this amendment is germane.
Will the gentleman from Hancock and the gentleman from Dubuque please approach the well? Representative Baxter, your point is well taken. The amendment is not germane. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Dubuque, Representative Eisenhart, for a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move to suspend the rules for the consideration of H-1221 and ask for a division and a record.
The gentleman from Dubuque moves to suspension of the rules to immediately take up amendment H-1221 and request a division and a record. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the screen and record your vote. The gentleman from Polk, Representative Hunter, seconds it. This is now a record roll call vote. Wessel Crochelle votes aye. Wolf votes aye. Confirst votes aye. Hall votes aye. Hine votes no. Speaker Upmeyer votes no. Lensing votes aye. Meyer Polk votes aye. Kaufman votes no. Klein votes no. Have you all voted? Clerk will close the machine and record your vote. Also give attention to the results of the vote. Those voting aye, 44. Those voting nay, 53. Absent or not voting, 3. The amendment fails. We are back on Senate File 170. Is there further discussion? Chair recognizes the gentleman from Fayette, Representative Berenger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and ladies and gentlemen of the House. I apologize, Mr. Speaker. I intended on speaking on the bill, and I just simply let it slip my mind. This is a good bill. As a former county extension director, I know how difficult it was for my staff to complete all of their required reporting. In many cases, they're just getting done with the county fair, one of the busiest times of their year. And I believe, again, with the regional system, with some regions as many as 9 counties, providing some flexibility for our counties to find and replace leaving extension council members is warranted. So I would ask my caucus to support this bill.
Seeing no further discussion, the chair recognizes the gentleman from Hancock, Representative Baxter, for closing remarks on Senate File 170.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think this is a really good bill. It was an exciting bill to study and find out all the duties of the extension council. And I think this is a great bill. I just want to thank those who worked with me in the subcommittee, Representative Kerr and Representative Berenger. And with that, I move this bill.
The gentleman from Hancock moves the bill be read for the last time and placed on its passage. Are there objections? Chair hears none. The clerk will read.
Senate File 170, Bill for an Act relating to the publication duties of and the filling of vacancies of county agricultural extension councils and including the effective date and applicability provisions be enacted by a General Assembly of the State of Iowa.
Question now is, shall the bill pass? Those in favor of its passage will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will receive your vote. and gentlemen of the House. Senate File 227 is a bill that deals with vehicle front license plates, and there is an amendment.
There is an amendment. The clerk will call up the amendment.
H1150 by Committee on Transportation.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Polk, Representative Losey, for opening remarks on Amendment H1150.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. H1150 is a strike-after amendment and replaces the Senate language with two provisions. First, it eliminates front license plate requirement for antique and classic vehicles, which are vehicles that have a model year of 25 years or more. Secondly, and more importantly, the commission's a joint study to be completed by the end of 2019 by the Department of Transportation and Department of Public Safety to identify vehicles that would help identify vehicles from the front without a license plate. And the purpose of this study is to address law enforcement's concerns for public safety, as well as to address the ever-increasing amount of life safety technology being placed in the front bumpers of by auto manufacturers. Those are my opening comments with respect to the amendment, and I would entertain any questions.
Is there discussion? Chair recognizes the gentleman from Blackhawk, Representative Kressig.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and ladies and gentlemen of the House. I had the honor to serve on this bill with Representative Losey, and the bill came over originally in a form that didn't have a lot of support from public safety and other groups, so this amendment, I think, is really a good amendment to for everyone to look at this and say that this is a good bill, it's good for Iowa, and I'd appreciate your support today.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Jones, Representative McKean.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, friends and neighbors in the House, this is an issue that has come up a number of times over the years about the possibility of eliminating the front license plate. And I just want to stress that the concern has been raised many, many times from public safety about how important the front license plate is for public safety purposes. Now, I'm perfectly willing to take a look at what recommendations are made, but I don't think we can minimize the public safety importance of having proper identification at the front of the car. It's made a big difference in many cases for public safety concerns. So I'm very hopeful that if there is a change, that we'll still have the necessary protections, necessary public safety protections that are, I think, are of tantamount importance.
Seeing no further discussion, the chair recognizes the gentleman from Polk, Representative Losey, for closing remarks on Amendment H1150.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. McKean, Representative McKean, I would agree, and that was the concern with the subcommittee in listening to law enforcement and how we can continue with a forward-facing vehicle identification that would help them in their public safety concerns. That is part of the goal of the study, and I am looking forward to that report and seeing what we can do to satisfy both concerns from a life safety standpoint from law enforcement as well as auto dealers and car owners. So. Anyway, I would like to thank Representative Kressig and Representative Huseman. It was truly a collaborative effort to come to this amendment, and I would move the amendment.
The gentleman from Polk moves adoption of Amendment H1150. All those in favor, say aye. All those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The amendment is adopted. We are back on Senate File 227 as amended. Is there further discussion? Seeing none, the chair recognizes the gentleman from Polk, Representative Losey, for closing remarks on on the Senate File 227.
Thank you. I'd simply move the bill as amended.
The gentleman from Polk moves the bill be read for the last time and placed on its passage. Are there objections? Chair hears none. The clerk will read.
Senate File 227, a bill for an act relating to the display of registration plates on motor vehicles being enacted by the General Assembly of the State of Iowa.
Question now is, shall the bill pass? Those in favor of its passage will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will receive your vote.
Speaker. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the House. This bill is at its roots about infrastructure and equity and safety. As we all know, electric vehicles present a new and interesting challenge to us as policymakers. So last year, the General Assembly passed a bill directing the DOT to assess the impact of electric vehicles on the road use tax fund. Electric vehicles either don't use gasoline if they are fully electric, or obviously they use less if they are plug-in or hybrid electric. At the low impact scenario, it would be about a $19.6 million impact to the road use tax fund by 2035, not an insignificant number. And at the high end, the projection is that it could be as much as $129 million. By 2040, that number could be as high as $241 million. So we have to do something about this. Manufacturers have announced significant increases in the number of models that they are going to be producing. So as we anticipate this growth, these are our proposed solutions. House File 767 creates a supplemental registration fee for electric vehicles and electric motorcycles. This would make the RUTF whole, and this registration fee is phased in over 3 years. This bill also imposes an excise tax of 65 cents per gallon on hydrogen, as it's used as a special fuel in motor vehicles. And it also specifies a diesel gallon equivalent of hydrogen at 2.49 pounds. It sets an excise tax of 2.6 cents on each kilowatt hour of electric fuel delivered or placed into the battery or an energy storage device at any location in the state other than a residence, so this is not designed for at-home charging. And all these revenues are credited to the road use tax fund. Part of that will go to RISE, Revitalize Iowa's Sound Economy Fund, and then additional monies will go into the secondary road fund. This bill does exempt these fuel taxes, electric fuel taxes, from the state sales and use tax and the local option tax. And the excise tax would not be collected until 2023, giving some breathing room there to let the infrastructure build out a little bit before we collect that tax. There is an amendment, Mr. Speaker.
There is an amendment. The clerk called the amendment.
H1237 by Henson of Lynn.
Chair recognizes the lady from Lynn, Representative Henson, for opening remarks on amendment H1237.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, this amendment removes lines 5 through 10 on page 14 of the bill. What that does is it ensures that licensed electric fuel dealers and licensed electric fuel users, so the owners and the operators of these EV charging stations, are subject to oversight and regulation by the Iowa Utilities Board. Mr. Speaker, those are my comments.
Is there discussion? Chair recognizes the gentleman from Polk, Representative Forbes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, this is a good amendment, and I'd ask the body to accept it. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, the lady from Lynn moves adoption of Amendment H1237. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The amendment is adopted. We are back on House File 767 as amended. Is there further discussion? Chair recognizes the gentleman from Polk, Representative Forbes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, this is a good bill. I'm glad Representative Henson's bringing this forward. I served as ranking member on the Transportation Committee last year and brought forward to the Department of Transportation the need to do or a study or look into the impact of electric vehicles on the roads here in the state of Iowa. As Representative Henson mentioned, these cars are going to increase over the next 5 to 10 to 20 years. And I believe in the next 10 years, we'll probably see more vehicles being sold in an electric version than the gas version. So, and also, I'm actually an owner of an electric vehicle here in the state of Iowa, and realize that I'm not contributing my fair share of taxes to the road use tax fund. And so this bill does two things. It sets that fee in place, but it also allows for a graduated fee to be put in place also for electric vehicle owners, so they can gradually work into that, and it goes to $130, I think, in year 2022. Now, when we get to 2022, maybe we'll have to revisit that again, because we may need to adjust that fee because of the differences in mileage driven by electric cars. So, but I think overall, this will allow the Department of Transportation to continue to collect road use tax fees to be able to make sure that our roads and bridges here in the state of Iowa stay safe for all Iowans. So I'd please accept this bill and support it.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Dubuque, Representative Eisenhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and ladies and gentlemen of the House. I worked on this bill both in transportation and ways and means, and the bill is obviously there. One is a fundamental assumption by the Department of Transportation that drivers of electric vehicles use them on the road as much as any other driver, and that was used as the basis of the fee, the starting point for the fee discussions. Overlooks the fact that because the value of those cars are so high, they're already paying registration fees much higher than most other vehicle owners, that money going into the road use tax fund. And some other related issues, for example, the fact that we assume that 85% of the power going into those vehicles is going to be delivered at home, where we don't have the infrastructure to measure how much is being used. And so we set the registration fee, assuming that 85% equals about $130 a year. Well, I don't know about many of you folks in your own communities, but in addition to all the other fees, I pay a 5% excise tax on any electricity I use at my home. And I know we're very concerned about double taxation, and we haven't addressed that issue. You don't pay a sales tax on what you put in your gas-powered vehicle at the pump. You shouldn't be paying a franchise fee tax when you're fueling it at home. No interest in addressing that issue. So these are just two or three of the issues I raised weren't addressed. Shortcomings in the bill. In our view, there have been shortcomings in many of the bills we've passed here over the last few years, and I guess it'll just have to wait for a Democratic majority to come into power here to fix some of these issues. I would just say in passing, the only response I got in discussing these issues from one of the bill managers, and I know I'm good friends with Representative Forbes, I know you can pay this. You could pay three times this and not hurt. I also know you don't use that car anywhere near like you use your other vehicles. So yes, obviously, most people who are using electric vehicles can afford to pay these fees. And that was the excuse I got when I said they're being double, triple, quadruple taxed. Well, they can afford it. I appreciate that response. It's great to hear that the majority party in this chamber now believes in the concept of progressive taxation, and look forward to having further discussions around that concept in the future. So I will be supporting the bill today for the reasons I initially indicated, but there are some problems that we'll need to revisit in the future.
Seeing no further discussion, the chair recognizes the lady from Lynn, Representative Henson, for closing remarks on House File 767 as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, the goal of this legislation is to ensure that there is no net change to the road use tax fund and to be equitable with a low administrative cost. And we tried to answer a lot of those concerns in this legislation. As you're all well aware, this fuel tax in this state accounts for 45% of the road use tax fund dollars, and that's revenue that supports highway infrastructure at the state, county, and municipal level. So if we fail to recapture the portion of the road user fees from the traditional fuel consumption, we really put this all at risk. We put at risk the state's ability to maintain the very infrastructure in which these vehicles are driving on every day. This plan will help ensure that we have those safe roads and bridges going forward for Iowans in the future, no matter what they drive. If you use the infrastructure, you should pay for the infrastructure, and that's what this bill does. So I'd like to thank our subcommittee members, Representatives Landon, Carlson, Representative Forbes, and Representative Eisenhart. We did take some of your concerns, and we did include them in the bill, including the phase-in of the registration fees, so that input was not lost, and it is in the bill going forward. So we worked together and made a good bill for Iowans and for Iowa's roads. Mr. Speaker, I move House File 767 as amended.
The lady from Lynn moves the bill be read for the last time and placed on its passage. Are there objections? Chair hears none. The clerk will read.
House File 767, a bill for an act relating to motor vehicle tax and fees, including registration fees and certain electric fees, and excise tax on hydrogen used for special fuel, and excise tax on electricity used as electric fuel, providing penalties and making penalties applicable, and including effective date provisions, being enacted by the General Assembly of the State of Iowa.
Question now is, shall the bill pass? Those in favor of its passage will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will receive.
475, Senate File 170, Senate File 227, and House File 767.
Are there objections? Hearing none, so ordered. Chair recognizes the gentleman from Dallas, Representative Hagenow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. With the passage of Senate File 505, Senate File 409, Senate File 283, Senate File 475, Senate File 170, and House File 767, I ask for unanimous consent to withdraw House File 568, House File 677, House File 730, House File 178, House File 736, House File 627, and House File 725.
Are there objections? Hearing none, so ordered. Chair recognizes the gentleman from Dallas, Representative Hagenow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If there's no further business, move the House adjourned until Thursday, April 18th at 8:30 a.m.
Is there any other business that come before the House? Chair recognizes the gentleman from Winnebago, Representative Gassman. For what purpose do you seek the floor?
Mr. Speaker, am I in order for a point of personal privilege?
We are moving towards adjournment, so you are in order.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen of the House, for a few minutes of your time. I've been waiting here with this until we got some time at the end of the day. But here we go. Divorce is, in my mind, the most devastating thing that can happen to a child. I have read that divorce is worse than the death of mom or dad for a child. Even an older child is greatly affected by a divorce. There are 2.1 million marriages in the U.S. yearly. There are 1.3 million divorces in the U.S. yearly. So as you can see, the number of divorces more than half of the number of marriages. 26% of children are living with a single parent. Local, state, and federal governments expend at least $112 billion each year on the results of divorce through anti-poverty, criminal justice, and education programs. Iowa spends at least $359 million each year on the same. In 2009, the poverty rate for children in married couple families was 11%. By contrast, the poverty rate for children in female-headed families was 44.3%. Father absence is a major cause of child poverty. Nearly two-thirds of poor children reside in single-parent homes. If poor mothers married the fathers of their children, nearly three-quarters of the nation's impoverished youth would immediately be lifted out of poverty. We are so aware of the mental health of our children today. How much of those mental health problems are caused by divorce and single parenthood? You can read daily about the shootings in various settings. I wonder what has happened to our culture. When I was a kid, I don't remember any of this child mental health problems or suicide. When I was a kid, I remember one divorced family. That was a yours, mine, and ours situation. A few years ago, I was crossing between the House and the Senate. Three young girls approached me and wanted some of my time. We sat down on the bench out here in the rotunda and talked about their problems. They were about 11 years old. Their question to me was, we need more counselors in our school. And I said to them, the best counselors you have is a mom and dad. One little girl replied to me, I don't have a mom or a dad. I'm living with my grandma. And she don't have time to hear my problems. The little girl said, I don't have a dad. She was from a single parent home. Another little girl said to me, my mom is divorced. She doesn't have time to listen to me. This is an actual case now. I think I've got several good ideas. I have a bill, it's 664. It's something that I got from our majority leader, as far as the book is concerned, where a lot of this material comes from. And what it would boil down to is no-fault divorce would no longer be if there are minor children in the family. Ronald Reagan, as governor of California, was the first governor to sign a no-fault law. He later stated that it was the worst mistake of his life in government. Some would say that no-fault divorce is unconstitutional. Why would a young woman woman or young man want to marry. With a drop of a hat, they could lose their kids, their home, or their bank account. When you file a no-fault divorce, there will be a divorce. Those with children, if they were to divorce, would have what I'm going to call a mutual consent divorce. In that mutual consent divorce, there would be no lawyers. The couple would decide property divisions with a judge. The couple would decide arrangements for the children with a judge. But before that happens, the couple would have to go through a rigorous counseling session before a marriage. The marriage would be designated as an elevated marriage. Similar legislation has been passed in other legislative bodies. In one jurisdiction, the divorce rate was cut in half. This marriage arrangement is also known as a mutual consent marriage. A trust fund will be started with funds from the Department of Human Services. It will no longer be needed in that budget due to fewer divorces. If the couple lives up to the arrangements in the law, they will be eligible for parental leave paid from that account after their first child. Well, they will also be eligible for a $1,000 income tax reduction at the time of their first child paid from that trust fund. We are leaving millions of children in a lurch. We need to make a change.